gift of ages, the pure light of Christ. What then shall I bring him, poor as I
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
It's 9:02. It's Wednesday. It's time for Fight the Empire with your host, Per Fogring. Stay tuned to your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. The show is Fight the Empire, and I'm Per Fogring. We'll start off with some not-so-good news. Right now, or it's probably just been accomplished, but the Biden administration's first offshore fossil fuel extraction auction, Lease Sale 257, was scheduled for this morning. And it would break the president's campaign promise of no more drilling, including offshore. The sale would also mark the end of a pause in federal fossil fuel leases implemented by executive order during Biden's first week in office. In resuming the U.S. lease sale auctions, the Resist Line 3 coalition accused the Biden administration of actively selling away our futures. Kristen Monsell, the Ocean's legal director for the Center for Biological Diversity, said the Biden administration is lighting the fuse of a massive carbon bomb in the Gulf of Mexico. It's hard to imagine a more dangerous, hypocritical action in the aftermath of a climate summit. So there you have the the bad news for this morning. If people want to call in with their comments and questions about that, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Well, on to today's show. Article 14 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that, quote, everyone has a right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. Nevertheless, Poland has turned away asylum seekers at its border with Belarus. Polish border guards firing tear gas and water cannon say the refugees are throwing rocks. And Poland claims that they were brought to the border by Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko. These refugees were originally from the Middle East. They were displaced by wars and persecution, and they passed through several countries to arrive at the Polish border. And they were hoping to reach Germany, but Poland refused to allow them to pass through. Immigration can bring its own problems, especially when it's voluntary and on a large scale. But there is that basic right to asylum from persecution. Plus, our global economy is creating too many people with little hope at home. Number to call if you want to call in with a question or comment is 503-231-8187. Back in 1972, an MIT study predicted economic troubles happening right about now. And a new study published last fall brings us up to date. Titled Updates to Limits to Growth, comparing the World 3 model with empirical data, the study attempts to assess how MIT's World 3 model stacks up against the latest information. Previous studies that attempted to do this found that the model's worst case scenarios accurately reflected real-world developments. The new study examines data across 10 key variables, namely population, fertility rates, mortality rates, industrial output, food production, services, non-renewable resources, persistent pollution, human welfare. Let me get to the other page here. An ecological footprint found the latest data most closely aligned with two particular scenarios. So this study predicted that there will be an economic collapse just right around now, and it indeed seems to be happening. But we might ask, what about renewable resources? And this technology requires the trouble with that is, yes, there are renewable resources, but the technology requires the use of resources that are not renewable. With 7 billion people on the planet, there will be an inevitable increase in the demand on the world's natural resources. And here are six that are already under severe pressure from current rates of consumption. Number one is water. Fresh water only makes 2.5% of the total volume of the world's water, which is about 3 million KM3, which, by considering that 70% of that fresh water is in the form of ice and permanent snow cover, then we only have access to a small fraction of it. Overall, it isn't surprising that demand for water could soon exceed supply. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations is predicting that by 2025, 1.8 billion people will be living in countries or regions with absolute water scarcity. Number two is oil. The fear of reaching peak oil continues to haunt the oil industry. BP Statistical Review of World Energy in June measured total global oil at 188 million tons from proved oil resources at the end of 2010. This is only enough oil for the next 46 years should global production remain at the current rate. So we have about 46 years of oil left at the current rate. Natural gas is another one. A similar picture exists for natural gas, with enough gas and proven reserves to meet 58 years of global production. Number four is phosphorus. Without this element, plants cannot grow. Essential for fertilizer, phosphate rock is only found in a handful of countries, including the U.S., China, and Morocco. With a need to feed 7 billion people, scientists from the Global Phosphorus Research Initiative predict we could run out of phosphorus in 50 to 100 years unless new reserves are found. Number five is coal. This is the largest reserves left of all the fossil fuels. But as China and other developing nations continue to increase their appetite, demand could finally outstrip coal supply. As it is, we have enough coal to meet 188 years of global production. And here I might add that it's kind of ironic, sadly ironic, that the one element that seems to be in great supply is the one that does the most damage to our environment, to the climate. Coal is you might say that coal is sort of destroying the world, but we have lots of it, and some nations continue to use it. And finally, the number six element is rare earth. Scandium and terbium are just two of the 17 rare earth minerals. And these are used in everything from powerful magnets in wind turbines to the electronic circuits in smartphones. The elements are not as rare as their name suggests, but currently 97% of the world's supply comes from China, and they can restrict supplies at will. The exact reserves are not known. So it's like there you have six elements that we need to continue living as we do today, and they are under severe pressure in varying degrees. If people want to call in, I've always been curious, how do people feel about depending on these limited resources for their the things they're most used to in life, you know, our smartphones,
All right, we may be experiencing a bit of technical weirdness. Bear with us. We'll get Pear back on the air just as soon as possible. Thanks so much for tuning in. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, here's a bit more of that Blue Monk to tide you over. ¶¶ We have back on the line with us, Parafrogering, the one and only host of Fight the Empire here on your Community Connection, KBOO. Take it away, Par.
Okay, well, back on the air. That was a brief interruption. Give you time to go grab a second cup of coffee. And we were talking about renewable resources, where people are fleeing collapse from other nations around the world, and something similar seems to be happening here. Our economy depends so much on resources that are in limited supply, and even the ones that are in plentiful supply. The one I mentioned earlier was coal, which unfortunately, we have lots of coal, and we keep using it. Other nations keep using it, and it is doing dreadful things to our environment. And so, one has to ask, what does this lead to? What kind of economy? What kind of a world will we be leaving for our children and grandchildren when we're using up resources and the spoiling the environment at such a rapid rate? And so it makes one think that some kind of economic collapse is almost that could be considered better news. This would be a good question for our listeners. What do you think? You think it'd be better that our economy collapses, or you think that it'd be better that our economy continues the way it's going now and uses up scarce resources and wrecks the environment? And if we didn't have the kind of economy we have now, it's like it could happen anyway, whether we voluntarily switch to a different economy, or whether we are forced to by the exhaustion of resources. What kind of economy will we have in the future? Without coal, without many of the power sources we have, what is left? What is it's kind of hard to envision this sometime. You know, we can think of what kind of economy did we have before the Industrial Revolution began. You know, you might say that the Industrial Revolution began around 250 years ago, kind of around late 18th century, early 19th century, and before that, it's very interesting. You look at graphs for population growth and use of resources, which really kind of match pretty closely. That for centuries of human history, the line was pretty flat at a low level, and then around the 1770s or so, when an industrial age really began, all of a sudden this line took a sharp upward curve, kind of, I think they call it a hockey stick line, where it goes up very suddenly, and optimists might say that, well, there's no reason why it cannot continue like this, well, either forever or for a very long time, that we have finally got our industrial economy in place, and it is set to continue operating probably as long as we want it to. And there are others who say that this is a false assumption, that it's really it is doomed to exhaust resources sometime within our lifetimes, within this century, say, and then we have to wonder what comes next instead of continuing upwards indefinitely. We have a kind of a sudden hill on the road, and now we're on the other side of that hill, and we're kind of back where we were before we reached the hill. But this time we don't have those resources in place waiting to be used, because they have been used. This is what they mean by an extractivist economy, that the resources have been extracted, and once that's happened, they are gone. They have been used, and there's nothing left but the residue. But the what kind of an economy can we expect to have when these resources are gone? If you have any ideas, do you look forward, if you're a young person, do you look forward to this happening in your lifetime, or do you think it's something to be delayed and put off? Number to call is 503-231-8187.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Pear, because there is a listener on the line right now. Shall we bring in Santiago?
Yes. Good morning, Santiago.
Good morning. I think it's really important for people to understand that we're just, you know, really saying that a crossroads is kind of like, I don't know, it's pretty weak because we've been in a crossroads for a while. But I think it's really important to understand that we need to really break this like capitalist mindset of thinking that we can just consume, buy. You know, and I know that sounds really trite, but it's like, if we're going to go to, I mean, part of the problem is just the mindset, really, because you see it right now with the capitalist dependency on supply chains that come from overseas. You know, it's like the fact that people can't buy stuff, the fact that we've been identified as consumers for over 40 years, like that, you know, people are losing their shit. They simply can't buy certain things. So, even if we were to forcefully, even if we were to forcefully move to another type of system of being able to do business, it's the fact of being able to break people of the mindset that people have been locking themselves in. And, you know, and it's like, you can't even, you know, the answers to the questions are really terrible in terms of like what they're trying to do. Like on the last show, they were talking about how, like, you know, they want to go through into native sacred lands, and they want to start like clearing, you know, pull, you know, extracting resources, you know, with no care for the indigenous people who look after the land, who are still there. And they, you know, and they just walk all over them in the name of, like, you know, at least in terms of lithium, they walk all over them in the terms of like, oh, you know, like green, you know, like the Green New Deal. Like, why are you going to stand in the way of electrifying vehicles when it's going to be so good for the planet? And it's like our relationships to one another are broken in a way. I mean, it's like, I know that doesn't really have anything to do with hard numbers, you know, or getting into like economics and shit, but it's like we don't even have good relationships with one another in our community. So I think that would be a really good place to start, is really even like reframing questions, like, you know. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Well, you raise an interesting point that once these resources have been used up and they are gone, you know, people might be fighting each other over the last few scraps just to survive in this industrial economy a little while longer, which is sort of a pretty dreadful future to look forward to. I think the time to start going on a new economy is right now, while we still have. Or still have some resources to back us up and to use wisely. But I don't know. What kind of economy do you see in the future?
Well, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't think that.
Well,
I think
nobody
that's
is.
Kind of a. But you know, but what I would say is that it's not so much about like the economy that I would like to see is definitely a socialist communist economy where, because right now we have so many of the resources right now that are stacked up in the hands of like just a few people. You know, and people are talking about the Green New Deal, but you know, the people don't realize right now, because of our short institutional memory, the only reason why anybody got the New Deal, the original New Deal in the first place, is because there was significant push from the left. And when I'm talking about the left, I'm not talking about liberals, because liberal in any other country other than the US would be considered just center or maybe slightly right of center. But I'm talking about like communists, socialists, you know, anti-capitalists, anti-imperialists. You know, we don't have that type of push. That's what pushed FDR to make the move he made. And, you know, we're sitting out here like, you know, demonizing socialism and communism as if like 300 or 400 years of capitalism hasn't stacked up a body count, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like to see, you know, because we have Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, these guys talk about themselves as if they're self-made men. You know, Elon Musk got his start with money that was, you know, from jewel mines in South Africa. You know, Jeff Bezos' parents were rich from the get-go, so he had stuff to fall back on. Same thing with Bill Gates, same thing with, you know, with Steve Jobs. These people came from money and made money. You know, even Donald Trump, for as much of a moron as he is, his parents came from money. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that there's, you know, the people who have money continue to keep making money even if they're awful at making money. So it's like we have to expropriate the wealth and give it to the people who need it the most, not sit here and beg for scraps from people who don't, you know, who don't even care about their neighbors, let alone their own community.
Well, I kind of agree. Yeah, we should make them give up some of their ill-gotten gains. At the same time, once that has happened, if it ever does happen, we still have to create some kind of economy that is sustainable, that can continue even when all the rich folks are kind of under control. Back in their cages, or what, as it were, but
a lot of our mindset and how we consume comes from the people at the top. They teach us to consume the way they consume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so part of it is going to be expropriation of wealth from the richest of them and given to the people, but the other part of it is just changing our mindset. We have to stop asking the same capitalist questions in terms of economy. You know, we can't just be asking about, you know, and even like the term economy itself. I mean, you know, it's like economy is like imposing a perception of reality on a reality that already exists. It's like, you know, nature doesn't care about the economy. People are talking about the economy being good right now, but the health of the economy is at this point, from a capitalist perspective, is,
well, kind of near the
terrible
end of
for
our
the planet.
Time. You raise some very good points that people should be thinking about, but it could be that the economy or so-called economy is going to change whether we want to or not. And the big question might be, do we allow it to happen to us, kind of as a horrible surprise, or do we try and take measures right now to replace it in a more sustainable way? You know, it's really kind of up to society to decide what they want to do, and so far it does not look too good, because like you say, we've been taking our cues from the very people who are kind of wrecking things for the rest of us. But I want to thank everybody for calling in, and thank everybody for listening. This has been Fight the Empire, and stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station. We want to keep it on the air, so give us a call you know, go online and, you know, contribute your little bit. Together we can we keep the station on. We've been on now for 50 some years, and let's keep the